A scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, reading verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are on the last Sunday of Advent, headed towards our Christmas Eve service on Thursday evening right here on WLNC at 7 p.m. One of the things I've learned over the years of preaching during Advent, looking forward to Christmas Day, is that these days are not the happiest of times for everybody. Early on in my ministry, I would lean into the joyful news that Jesus Christ was born, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I would think of Advent and Christmas as primarily a time for rejoicing and laughing and loving. But as I went through the years and engaged with friends in my churches, I learned that Advent can also be a season of great sadness. That as we celebrate the light that is coming into the world, it, for many people, is a season of great darkness. Rates of depression and suicide always go up during the Christmas holidays. It seems in some ways that there might be sadness and darkness in equal portion to the gladness and light. And that is not a coincidence. When we experience an event over and over in our lives, year after year, on an annual basis, we can't help but remember the other times, what it was like in the previous years. And the more years we live, the more we remember Christmases that were different back then, when we had people with us that aren't with us now, when our lives were easier, maybe simpler, perhaps, maybe even actually truly happier than they are now. By all accounts, 2020 has been a disaster of a year. We're all looking forward to putting it in the rearview mirror and moving on to 2021 a few weeks from now. But for now, there is still this season of Advent 2020 and Christmas 2020, when the pandemic has never been worse and people are dying each day in record numbers. So I have a question for you to think about today, and that is, What feels impossible for you right now? What feels impossible? Maybe for some of us, getting into what we remember as the Christmas spirit seems impossible. Maybe just not being overwhelmed by the pandemic and the election seem impossible. Maybe overcoming our grief seems impossible. It's probably different for everybody, but what seems impossible for you right now? Do you have it? Can you say it? Okay, so now I want to look at this story of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and announcing that she is going to have a baby who will be the Savior of the world. And I'll tell you the end here at the beginning, which is not always a great idea, but I think it is today, that Mary winds up believing that with God, all things are possible. She ends up there, but she didn't start there. She starts somewhere else and moves from disbelief and incomprehension to the acceptance that with God, all things are possible. And what I'm hoping is that as we follow the progression of Mary's thinking and believing, that we too will be able to make that transition from impossible thinking to possible thinking. So, let's start with the opening statement that the angel Gabriel brings. He says in verse 28, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So the first thing that Gabriel says to her is that the Lord is with her, and she is perplexed by this and ponders what it might mean. And then Gabriel says to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." And you wonder why she might be afraid in this instance. I mean, if you have found favor with God, isn't that a good thing? This assurance of the presentness of God sets the tone for the message that is to come. Mary does not know her life is about to be both upended and established forever in the history of humankind. She does not know that her humble beginnings are not indicative of her calling as the mother of the Messiah. She does not know that the favor that rests upon her will not translate into personal gain or popularity or privilege. We have the advantage of knowing what is next, but Mary does not know why the angel would disrupt the normal course of her life with the simple words, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." It's no wonder that she was perplexed and pondered. Mary's life circumstances would reasonably cause her to question, "Am I favored? Is God with me? What will this favor entail?" So I want to ask you, have you ever had a Gabriel moment? God uses Gabriels as holy interrupters that shift the course of our lives. Unexpectedly, suddenly, unanticipatedly, Gabriels appear and alter what seem to be fixed and predictable paths for us. When our life takes an unexpected turn, we need to remember what Gabriel said to Mary, "The Lord is with you." Whether that turn is a diagnosis you didn't expect, a change in your job, the death of a loved one, or a rejection from a college, unexpected. Those are your Gabriels. And when you think about it, this entire year has been a Gabriel, hasn't it? This time last Christmas, none of us had the slightest notion that we would spend most of the year in our homes, kids not going to schools, parents working online, churches not gathering. Talk about holy interruptions that shift the course of life unexpectedly, suddenly, unanticipatedly. Wow, 2020 is the definition of a Gabriel year, something that appears and alters what seemed to be fixed and predictable paths for us when our lives take an unexpected turn. And when you experience a Gabriel, always remember that the first words out of his mouth were, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." Yes, things have changed. Things are changing, but the Lord is with you in the changes. And the second thing that Gabriel says follows logically from the first, do not be afraid. Why not? Because the Lord is with you. They go together. When you have a Gabriel moment in your life, a crossroads, a turning point, a huge life change, don't be afraid because the Lord is with you. It is so hard to remember. We're all used to our old life and God being with us there. But in this new life, God, are you still with me? Yes, says Gabriel. Greetings, the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. Okay, so the first thing that we can take from the scripture is to be aware of our Gabriel moments. When our life takes an unexpected turn, the Lord is with us in it. The second phrase we want to focus on is what Mary says when Gabriel tells her everything that God has planned for her. In verse 31, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be? So this young girl, Mary, probably only 14 or 15 years old, betrothed to this guy named Joseph, is having a pretty normal Palestinian day when out of the blue, this angel Gabriel shows up and tells her that she is going to have a baby who will be the Son of the Most High God. And her reaction to that Gabriel moment, the unexpected, unbelievable, outlandish news, is just how you and I would react. She says, how can this be? How can this be? That is the second phrase I want us to remember, because it shows that she had no idea how this seemingly impossible thing can happen. How can it be that she, with no social standing, no education, no wealth or property, or power, and not even right now an actual husband, how can all this happen? How can this be? I remember when a friend of mine asked me that exact question, how can this be? When I was a pastor in Georgia, I took my friend Jeff Starnes fishing in a small farm pond near my church. Jeff was recently divorced, and he wanted to have some father-son time with Andy, his 10-year-old boy. And when he asked Andy what he wanted to do, Andy really wanted them to go fishing. But Jeff had absolutely zero experience as an angler, but he knew that I did. So he asked if I could take them fishing. And one Saturday morning at first light, we got into a flat-bottom aluminum boat that was tied up on this little one-acre farm pond. I paddled in the back while Jeff and Andy cast their lures in the front. And when we got to a certain place, I said, Jeff, you see that bucket on the shore right there? Cast at that bucket and you will catch a bass. He looked at me incredulously. Seriously? Jeff, I promise. No, I guarantee. Make a cast at that bucket and you will catch a fish. No doubt. Absolutely. Done deal. Trust me. He rolls his eyes and shakes his head at Andy, but he gives it a try anyway. Jeff wasn't great at casting, but on about his third effort, he got reasonably close to the bucket, and boom, a bass took his bait, and with a great deal of shouting from Andy, Jeff reeled it in. It was a nice little pound-and-a-half largemouth bass, and I took the fish off the hook and released him back in the water. When I looked up, Jeff was staring at me like he had seen a ghost. His eyebrows were arched, And he just gazed at me for a while. And I said, what? Then he did the Mary question. Dude, how can this be? I just smiled. No, seriously, man, how did you do that? That's like magic. Andy picked up the thread. Yeah, Mr. Morgan, you pointed it. You said, cast there, and he was there. Then Jeff answered his own question. Andy, our buddy Jim here, he is a fish whisperer. What I didn't tell them when they asked, how can this be, was that I'd been fishing in that pond for almost every month for 3 years. It was owned by Robert and Beverly Hood, two lovely, generous members of my church, and they were more than happy to have their preacher fish in their pond anytime I wanted to. It just so happens that largemouth bass as a species are very territorial. They tend to stake out their area in a lake. When a bass finds his spot in the pond, he stays there, defends it, runs other fish away from it. The truth was, I had caught that same bass probably 20 times in that exact spot. He was always there, and he would always defend his territory from my lure. He wasn't eating it for food. He was attacking it. So I knew that a cast right in front of that upside-down bucket on the bank was pretty much guaranteed to get a strike by that fish. It seriously happened every single time. So when we got there, I told Jeff to do something that was far from magical. It was totally predictable. Cast at that bucket and you'll catch a fish. But to him and Andy, it was miraculous. I became the fish whisperer from then on out forever. And I can't say that I actually ever told Jeff exactly how that could have happened, other than my miraculous, magical abilities. But in truth, it had solid, normal reasons for happening. And if I took you there today, it would probably happen again, if not by that particular fish, by its offspring. But how can this be? Jeff asked. Arthur C. Clarke was a science fiction writer who once said, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Think of how we call a taxi nowadays. We get out our phone, touch a spot on the screen that says Uber, click on an address, and in a few minutes, a car pulls up to the curb beside us. We get in and go to that place and get out without having to reach in a wallet for cash. You take somebody just a generation or two earlier than now, and that would seem like fantasy, hocus pocus. As Arthur C. Clarke said, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. However, we understand how it works, don't we? Global positioning system, GPS technology, credit cards linked to our Uber account. It's all totally logical. But someone from an earlier time would probably say when the taxi pulls up, how can this be? So Mary's question to the angel Gabriel had some of that meaning to it. In response to hearing that she, a virgin girl, would be having a baby that was the Son of God, she says, how can this be? And Gabriel answers her, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, also has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. If Mary was asking a question of clarification, explain to me exactly how something crazy like this can possibly happen. Well, the angel doesn't really answer that. You know, get into the nuts and bolts, the GPS of Uber or the territorial nature of the largemouth bass. When Mary asks, how can this be? Gabriel just keeps telling her more of what is going to occur in the future, not explaining what happens to make it occur. The actual answer he gives her is this. How can this be? Because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Marianne McKibben Dana says that how can this be is actually a question for people who don't need clarity, but instead want to enter further into God's mystery and God's mysterious work in the world. And maybe that is a key for us too today. Maybe instead of needing to comprehend intellectually how God is going to make the impossible possible, maybe what we need is to enter further into God's mystery. Maybe Mary was willing to trust God to submit herself to the mystery of what was happening without having to understand all of it. Madeline Lingle, she wrote the novel A Wrinkle in Time, was also a poet and wrote in an Advent poem, "This is the irrational season when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been full of reason, there would have been no room for the child." In other words, it's not a reasonable thing for a young virgin girl to conceive a son who will be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, just like it's not a reasonable thing for an old woman, Elizabeth, to have a baby in her later years, and it's not a reasonable thing for you and I to feel joyful in this COVID-plagued Christmas season. None of that is reasonable. But the reason it can happen, could happen, will happen, is that nothing is impossible with God. In other words, anything can happen. Anything. We're not trapped in what has been in the past. God is with us even now. And whatever you were thinking was impossible at the beginning of this sermon, that impossible is actually possible because God is with us. And that changes everything. What did you say was your impossible this Christmas? To feel joy? To feel peace? To rise above your circumstances and get out of your depression? Your impossible is now possible because of Emmanuel. God is with you. So now look at Mary's final affirmation. Look at what she says to Gabriel after she has processed what's about to happen to her. Verse 38. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." She started by being perplexed and pondering. Then she was afraid. Then she felt it was impossible. And now finally, Gabriel's message has sunk in. God is with you, so nothing is impossible now. Mary realizes that whatever happens as a result of all this, and it was a lot, whatever happens, she rests in the loving hands of her Lord. She will see her son taught the leaders of the temple as a 12-year-old and forget about coming home. She will see him change water into wine at a friend's wedding. She will see him suffer and die. Watch her son bleed out on a Roman cross. But she is willing to trust God to be with her in her future. Whatever happens as a result of what Gabriel is announcing, whatever happens, she rests in the loving hands of her Lord. And so do you. And so do I. Just like with Mary, God is with us. God can make your impossibles into possibles. And that means something new. That means, brothers and sisters, maybe you and I, maybe all of us can say with Mary this morning, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." God has seen your situation way in advance. None of this is a surprise. And God knew that you could deal with it. The Holy Spirit will give you strength and power to handle it. Not everything is God's perfect will for us, but God is with us in everything. If you hear this good news and your reaction is, "How can this be?" The answer is that God is with you and nothing is impossible with God. I want to close with one of my favorite Christmastime quotes from Frederick Buechner and his book, The Hungering Dark. Once we have seen God in a stable, we can never be sure where he will appear or to what lengths he will go or to what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation he will descend in his wild pursuit of man. If holiness and the awful power and majesty of God were present in this least auspicious of all events, this birth of a peasant's child, then there is no place or time so lowly and earthbound but that holiness can be present there too. And this means there is no place where we're safe from his power to break in two and recreate the human heart, because it is just where he seems most helpless that he's most strong, and just where we least expect him that he comes most fully. Whatever happens as a result of all this, we can rest in the loving hands of our Lord. Can you submit yourself to the mystery of what is happening right now to you? To believe that the impossible can become possible because God is with you? Can you submit to that mystery without having to understand it all? Can you realize, like Mary, that whatever happens now as a result of all this, you still rest in the loving hands of your Lord? Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. Nothing will be impossible with God. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we are afraid. We're facing a situation that we've never seen before. Our life has taken an unexpected turn. Give us faith where there is fear. Give us light where there is darkness. Make what seems impossible become possible. In Jesus' name, amen.